1310 KFKA. Amy Oliver.
Amy, what you want to do? I think I can stay with you for a while, maybe longer if I do. Don't you think the time is right for us to find all the things we thought weren't proper? Could be right in time.
10:04, getting ready to turn over 10:05 in the Rocky Mountain region. Welcome to the second hour of the Amy Oliver Show here on News Talk 1310 KFKA. Two ways to get a hold of me, 353-1310 or 877-353-1310. You can also email me, amy@1310kfka.com. And this might be one of those times you have those nagging grammar questions. You know, maybe you're afraid to use a semicolon because you don't know exactly how to use it. Or maybe you're wondering what is it, or, you know, when to use who or whom. Or here's one of the ones I always had trouble with: lay versus lie. We're going to ask the founder of National Grammar Day, or National Punctuation Day, I should say that, Jeff Rubin. He's actually the founder of National Punctuation Day. Jeff, thanks so much for being on the program. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And the semicolon is the most feared punctuation mark, but now I have to get out my grammar book. Because I always have trouble with that stuff, too.
You know what? And we are scared of a semicolon. Why is that?
I don't know. You know, it's you see it misplaced in so many instances. And when I hear from people, they say, you know, it just seemed like a semicolon should go there.
Yeah, it just looked good.
It looked good. I mean, it is quite an attractive punctuation mark.
It is. It gives your piece, whatever it is you're working on, a little bit of an intellectual feel.
Doesn't it though? It kind of makes you feel literally superior.
Literally. A made up word.
Well, people who found holidays can make up words.
All right. Let me ask you this question, Jeff. How did you and your wife get to start National Punctuation Day, which, by the way, was yesterday?
It was. And what a day it was. Radio interviews, TV interviews, all culminating in the annual National Punctuation Day parade and the cooking of the first official meatloaf of National Punctuation Day. And you can see those photos on my website.
Go ahead, give out the website.
NationalPunctuationDay.com.
Well, how did you get started on this? I will tell you, first of all, let me thank you. I taught two semesters in as an adjunct professor, as an adjunct instructor.
What does that mean, adjunct?
Well, I don't know. It just means that I was a contract teacher.
Yeah, does that mean you didn't qualify for tenure?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
What does that mean?
And I got to tell you, but adjunct sounds better. It's called a euphemism.
It's one of those literary words.
Well, one of the requirements for my students, and this was a freshman history course, was they had to write a 5-page paper.
Uh-huh.
And I was pretty horrified at what I found. And I will say that. I mean, I would get these papers back, and I'm not certain if they just never learned punctuation or if they just didn't listen, but it was, and I don't want to paint a broad brush, but I will say remedial English, remedial reading in Colorado is, there's a substantial number of high school graduates who enter into colleges and universities in Colorado that then have to take remedial courses in English and in reading.
It's not only Colorado. Now, I don't know if that's going to make you feel good or not, but in a study conducted by the National Center for Education Statistics, nationwide, 28% of incoming freshmen enroll in remedial English.
Say that percentage.
28% in the United States are. That means that they're not reading or writing at grade level when they get into college. And here's something that's even more alarming. High school teachers rank punctuating at the end of a sentence as the 31st most important writing skill. College instructors ranked it number two. So there's a disconnect between what they're teaching in high school and what they want in college.
Let's quickly go to the phone lines. Kathy in Greeley has, according to Damon, a brilliant question. Good morning, Kathy. Welcome to the show. You are talking with Jeff Rubin, who is the founder of National Punctuation Day.
And let's stress Punctuation Day.
Yes, punctuation,
Punctuation Day.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I have a problem with effect and affect. And I've worked hard on trying to understand this, and I've looked it up at dictionary.com, and I still can't get it.
Effect with an E is a noun. Affect with an A is a verb.
Well, I'd heard there's an easy way to remember it. I thought at dictionary.com it used both of them as nouns.
Effect is also a verb in one instance, but mostly is a noun. So the effect of this decision is effect. The decision affected, there's the verb.
Does that make sense? I got to tell you, Kathy, if you just remember that effect with an E is usually the noun and affect with the A is the verb, you'll be right. What, Jeff? Probably
99% of the time.
All right. I'm going to have to go check a recent blog piece I wrote and make sure I've got it right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting about blogs. My publicist sent me 25 Google pages of mentions about National Punctuation Day that was mentioned on blogs, and I was looking at some of them this morning. And there are punctuation errors on many of them. So these people are writing about punctuation, and they're making punctuation errors. And the most common one is it's apostrophe s. People use that apostrophe as possessive when it's a contraction for it is.
And the other thing with that, Jeff, with blogs and, of course, with Microsoft Word, we do a word check a spell check, and it comes up as you know, it's spelled correctly when it's not. I don't know if it is the only possessive that doesn't have an apostrophe, but it's got to be at least
the only one I can think of.
Yeah, the only one that I can think of as well.
But here's why spell check doesn't work. Who's programming it?
Those who are in the remedial English.
Exactly. I mean, this is your 28% right here.
At least they can find gainful employment.
That's right.
Well, Jeff, let me ask you, though. You started this, what, this was the fourth
this
annual?
This is the fourth annual.
And it's starting to take off.
It is.
And what has been you said you had, I love that, radio, television, and the traditional traditional meatloaf.
Right, we now have an official meatloaf of National Punctuation Day, and my wife cooked it last night. We have a great photograph of a question mark meatloaf on our homepage now.
She
made 3 pounds of meatloaf.
You guys must have had a big family gathering.
We're going to be eating meatloaf for Thanksgiving.
Let me ask you, this: as much as we joke and try to make light of this, this is actually a fairly serious issue.
It's very important. You know, we're facing a global competition, the likes of which we haven't faced before. Young people from other countries are speaking our language better than we do. They're writing our language better than we do. Politicians and business leaders are now worried about America's prominence in the global economy. It's a big problem. Human resources directors, who are my customers in my newsletter business, tell me that they get a lot of cover letters and resumes with misspelled words and bad punctuation, bad grammar, and those resumes go right in the circular file.
You know what? I have to tell you, I get the same thing, and I work at a think tank. And when I get stuff that is with words that are misspelled, and okay, so maybe one time, but when punctuation continues to be, incorrectly, or punctuation marks are used incorrectly, it just makes me crazy.
Doesn't it drive you nuts?
Oh, absolutely. Let's quickly go to David in Evans, who has a question. Good morning, David. You're on with Jeff Rubin, who's the founder of National Punctuation Day. You have a question?
I sure do. Thank you. The one that gets me, and I consider myself very good at punctuation, so this may seem silly to some, but when to include periods, question marks, and so forth inside of quotation marks.
Good question. Jeff, what is the answer to that?
This is one of the nuances of our language that makes it so perplexing. Commas and periods always go inside a closing quotation mark. A question mark sometimes goes inside and sometimes goes outside. Here's the rule. If the entire sentence is a question, the question mark goes outside the quote. If only the quotation is a question, then the question mark goes inside the closing quote.
Say that one more time.
Okay, let me give you an example.
Perfect.
Let's say the person says, who wrote Gone with the Wind? So you'd have Gone with the Wind in quotation marks.
Now, here's my question. Is Gone with the Wind in quotation marks, or is it italicized?
Well, because in newspaper style, they'll put it in a quotation mark.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you had that, who wrote Gone with the Wind, that whole sentence is a question. So you'd have Gone with the Wind in quotes. The quotation mark would be at the end. Let's say you said, he asked, comma, how long will it take? The whole sentence is not a question. Only the part, how long will it take, is a question. So you would have T-A-K-E, question mark, and then end quote.
Very good. Jeff, we have to take a quick break, but then I'd like to come back. I've gotten some emails here, and
okay.
One of them, who and whom.
Oh, geez.
So get out your...
Oh, geez, I'm running to Strunk and White right now.
And we want to know about the semicolon. We'll give you a few minutes to get all the information. 10:17 the time, talking with Jeff Rubin, who is the founder of National Punctuation Day, which, by the way, was yesterday, so we celebrated it yesterday. But we have him on today because punctuation is important, not just one day out of the year, but the entire year. Coming back in just a moment. Stay right here. I am Amy Oliver, and you're on News Talk 1310 KFKA.
Amy Oliver, bigger signal, bigger program. We are News Talk 1310 KFKA.
ABC, EBS
10:22 the time. Welcome back to News Talk 1310 KFK's Amy Oliver Show. 10:22 in the Mountain Time Zone. Talking with Jeff Rubin, who is the founder of National Punctuation Day.
Yes.
And I want to encourage everybody, this, punctuation is one of those things that it can be intimidating. And so don't be shy. Don't be afraid. You can use a different name. You can disguise your voice. You have a question for Jeff. He's kind and gentle. He's not going to ridicule you. There's no big red pen. You can just ask a question, 353-1310 or 877-353-1310. Okay, Jeff, the semicolon. When do we use the semicolon?
Well, you have to know what an independent clause is.
And
it's easy. It's
okay.
A sentence. It has a subject and a predicate. A predicate's a verb. So if you have two sentences that are very closely related to one another, you could put a period there, but a semicolon indicates that these sentences really go together. So they separate two independent clauses.
And what would be an example of that?
Oh, let's say abdominal exercises help prevent back pain. Proper posture is also important. See, now you could put abdominal exercises help prevent back pain, period. And then a new sentence, proper posture is also important. But these two sentences, they're like kissing cousins.
Ah, okay.
So you put a semicolon in there. Now, it also is used to separate a long list of items where there are a lot of commas. So let's say you said he was the president, comma, and he won the election. Or that's a bad one. Let's see. How about we say we have a list, every situation, no matter how grim, will be happily resolved, semicolon. And then you have another sentence, another list, that no one knows more about human nature than her. So you have a list where there are a lot of commas, and you want to separate those commas with a semicolon. You want to keep each of those lists compartmentalized.
The other question I got, Jeff, was who and whom. It's a toughie.
Well, it's actually not so hard. Who is the subject? Whom is the object? So, for example, who is that masked man? Who is the subject? The men, four of whom are ill, were indicted.
Do you end a sentence in a preposition?
I don't. But, you know,
I don't either.
The beauty of language, of our language, is that it's always evolving. But speaking of ending sentences in a preposition, here's a sentence that appeared in the local paper where I live a couple of days ago, of which he is a part of. How about that?
If you ever asked my grandfather, if you made the mistake of saying, where's that at? My grandfather would say, it's at the end of your preposition.
Yes. Oh, that is great. And I'll tell you, I hear that all the time.
You hear that on newscasts. That is almost as if it has become the norm. You talk about an evolving language. And my kids, when I hear them say that, when I hear them say, where's it at? I look at them and I'll say, you have to repeat that sentence. Yeah. Until I've heard you properly.
Hey, here's one for you. How did everything in the news become so huge? I always thought the word huge applied to size. In other words, that was a huge win for Colorado.
Did we have one? No, I'm just kidding.
The
Rockies.
Yeah, you guys are
the Rockies.
Not the football team. No.
I was at that game.
No, the Colorado Rockies, I think they're only a game out of
One game out of the wild card spot.
Yeah,
and I think we're playing the Dodgers.
Yeah, they're having an amazing season.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you have some nice talent. But again, are the wins huge? Huge does not relate to importance, yet that term started a few years ago in sports journalism, and now everything's huge.
What is a pet peeve of yours? What is the one or a couple of issues?
Oh, God, you don't want to get into that. I have so many. What is my biggest pet peeve? I think it's the misuse of the apostrophe. It just drives me nuts. It's such an easy rule to remember. If you look on my website, I invite people to send photos of incorrectly punctuated billboards, store signs. I'd say 90% of them are apostrophe. orthography errors. I got one from Perth, Australia this morning. One sign had four misplaced apostrophes in it. Actually, it had six. Puppies, P-U-P-P-Y apostrophe S. Guppies, G-U-P-P-Y apostrophe S.
Well,
it's,
they must,
it's a pet store.
Yeah, well, they must. The puppies and the guppies, or the puppy and the guppy must own something.
Exactly. And so here's the rule. If it's plural, there's no apostrophe. How easy is that?
Well, for instance, give an example so that people know.
Girl. More than one girl. Girls. G-I-R-L-S. If something belongs to a girl, G-I-R-L apostrophe S. I mean, it is that easy.
Well, here's one that I see occasionally, and this is tough for people. And, for instance, if you have, let's talk about an example, the Lewis family, L-E-W-I-S.
Yes.
And you say the Lewis's house.
Yes.
How is that written?
Well, you have actually given a thorny example because you have picked a name that begins in an S.
Begins in an S or ends?
I mean, ends in an S.
Right.
So Lewis's, if it were to say the Lewis's house, L-E-W-I-S, and now here's where the style books disagree. The AP style book says just add an apostrophe. The Elements of Style, commonly known as Strunk and White, says add an apostrophe S. So until these people agree with one another, I'd have to say both are correct. I use the apostrophe S, the Lewis's house.
Very good, because that's how it sounds.
Yes.
That's how it comes out of your mouth. Now, we have to run here in just a minute, Jeff. So what is it that you and your wife are looking to do? Are you taking this movement to grammar school, to elementary schools? Because let's face it, that's where we need to start.
Well, we started all of this publicity around National Punctuation Day is great, and I love doing the radio shows. But after a while, we thought we have to do more than this. So it took us a year. We wrote a program called Punctuation Playtime. And we have a website. It's punctuationplaytime.com. And we travel around the country, and we teach elementary school children, lower grades, 1 through 6. We teach them 13 punctuation marks with games, activities, and a song. We wrote a song called The Punctuation Rap. We recorded it. It's on our website. The games we play are pin the punctuation mark on the sentence, punctuation bingo, the punctuation relay. And it's amazing. In 45 minutes, you see kids who were getting the wrong answers at the beginning, and now they're raising their little hands, and they know this stuff. It's really quite extraordinary. So we're having a great time with this program, and we hope to do 100 of them this school year.
And you all travel then? You and your wife travel to different schools?
Mostly we've been doing them in California because that's where we live. We did a few programs in Chicago earlier this month, and we've been asked back. We're going back in March. And so we're trying to get more schools to find out about us. We also have a DVD. It's an instructional DVD for teachers, and it's 30 minutes, and it trains teachers how to do our program, step by step, everything they'll need, how to set it up, how to conduct the whole activity.
Well, you certainly have my support, Jeff.
Thank you.
As I had to tell you, I get so frustrated with what I read when it comes across my desk sometimes, because I also do a lot of editing.
Well,
and we have to do, we publish academic papers, background pieces, editorials, things of that nature, and I get so frustrated sometimes at what I see. And I'm saddened at the loss of punctuation. Actually, I don't know, it's a disrespect for punctuation.
Yeah. I think, you know, the attitude I get a lot is, it doesn't matter, you know what I meant. I mean, have you ever heard that? And nowadays with text messaging, which has eliminated vowels from the language, I mean, there's a school district in New Zealand that allows its students to write in text message style on essay papers because they feel that this is the language that the kids are most familiar with. I think, yeah, it's just unbelievable, but I think that I think they're crazy. I mean, why even have teachers? They're not living up to their responsibilities as teachers.
And the next question is, if that's how they're writing, then that's how they're going to be reading. And then they're not, I mean, think of how much information is going to be off limits for them, and only by their own choice, because they are writing in a style that isn't really accepted.
It's not accepted in the real world. It's okay if you're casually text messaging, as long as you don't have carpal tunnel in your thumbs. But once you get into the real world, language is king.
Absolutely. Hey, Jeff, we've got to run. Give out your website one more time.
It's nationalpunctuationday.com for the holiday and punctuationplaytime.com for the school assembly program.
I'd love to check back in with you as we talk about... Actually, you know what? I'd like to label you my in-house punctuation expert.
Oh, I would love that. And so few people are labeling me now. So I accept.
Well, wonderful. You have a new title.
Thank you.
Jeff Rubin, founder of National Punctuation Day. We'll check in with them every few months. Maybe we can make this a regular segment. 10:35 the time. We have to check in with Troy Coverdale over at the news desk. Stay right here. I'm Amy Oliver. You're on News Talk 1310 KFKA.